same power live in you that raised Christ from the dead. I think there's four of you that got that, understand it. Let's just receive that for a minute here. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in every one of us that are born again. If you are baptized in the Spirit of God, you are baptized in miraculous, supernatural power and anointing. You are equipped to live a supernatural life that supersedes the natural. You are not bound by natural laws, not bound by natural laws of finance, but the kingdom of God is open to you. It is available to you. The cabinet doors are open. The refrigerator is unlocked. You have open access to all that is in the Father's house. I said you have access to all that is in the Father's house. I said you have access to every room, every cabinet, every refrigerator shelf in the house of God. You have free access to a healing from every disease, from a sniffle to cancer. So you need to hear that you have access. If you have access, you need to access it. I am about to come out of my skin. It's good to have the whole team back. Thank you. I'm really glad to be back. I always love coming home. I love going, but I like my house. Glory, you can be seated if you want. You can stand if you want. You can kneel, lay down. You start, yeah, what was that? I was going to say, if you start slithering like a snake, then we're going to do something about that. I don't like snakes in the natural or in the funky. Glory. I really do. I love coming home. When I came home last Wednesday night, it was nice to walk in my door and lay down in my bed and lay down next to my wife. And I've been looking forward to coming here because this is my house too, and I love coming home into my house. Whew, it's good. Yes. Amen. Let me do some announcements before I get going on some things. Again, just thank you, worship team. It's good to have everybody back and intact. Been looking forward to that. We're leaving in 9 days for Honduras, a week from Tuesday. Bless God. We're going to have a quick, and I say that loosely, meeting right after our service time together. We'll meet kind of right up in here. So maybe right in the center. Let's just do that. So when our service time is over here, if we can just gather in the center and we can meet for a little bit, and then you can go. Our fireworks fundraiser was incredible, especially with the disasters we had and the losing of a couple thousand dollars worth of fireworks. We are a blessed people, and we raised a total of $8,792. $731 of that was just the raffle. See what it's like just pushing the raffle tickets, and but we still made nearly $1,000 more than the year before, and the year before was our best year as well. So it's definitely worth it. Amen. You even got, you know, a round trip ticket. You're going to be coming back. So yeah. That is good. I'm going to ask you to I'm not sure what I'm going to ask you to do. I've got so many things going off of me. I want to share about the conference just a little bit, some of the things that happened. Let me start off there. I've just had kind of so many things going on, and we're preparing to go to Honduras, and Kamal called me before, you know, a couple weeks prior and said he was going to this conference, and it was at his home church in Colorado Springs, and he really wanted me to go, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to go. I've got too many things going on. I really didn't want to go. I'm not just saying that. I like going places, and I love being with him, but on this one, I really didn't want to go, and I'm like, so I mentioned it to Renee and tell her about it, and immediately she goes, you need to go, and I'm like, oh, I gotta go. So I went, and I am really, really glad that I listened to my wife and went, and it was really, really good. Here's the word the Lord spoke to me, and you know, sometimes we use words, and we use them so often that they lose the weight and the meaning of it. You know what I mean? And we get so used to certain words, and it's like, okay. And I don't get this from all the different places that I've gone or different things that I've done, but I really believe the Lord spoke to me after this was all over, and he said this was very strategic. And there was some relationships, immediate relationship connections with certain people. I don't have any idea where all that's going to go. I just leave that. I don't want to work anything and just let it kind of go the way the Lord wants to lead it and how he wants to put things together. But to back up a little bit, before I went to the conference, it was interesting that it just worked out perfect that, you know, Amy Wiederwall is now Amy Tipton. She remarried to Scott Tipton, and Renee and I weren't able to go to her wedding. But the Sunday that I left last Sunday real early in the morning. The conference didn't start until Sunday night. And so I, flying into Denver, Golden is just on the other side, the west side of Denver. And so I said, hey, are you going to be in town? I'm going to be there. And it just happened to be their last Sunday there because they left just this last Friday to go back to Morocco. And they were having a special prayer over them and a potluck afterwards for everybody to say goodbye to them. And so that just like worked out perfect that I was able to go and see her, see Scott, see the boys, spend a little time with them before I had to drive to Colorado Springs for the conference. And so I really felt blessed and honored. And then the church asked me to pray over them too, and I was just very honored to be a part of that and be able to see her before she left, and got to speak to some of the leadership there about the message of Ecclesia as well. One of the pastors texted me 2 days ago, said, I've been reading your book, and I've already taught my daughter and her boyfriend about God's DNA and, you know, who we are in Christ. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. And so going to the conference, I got to meet some people I've never met before. If you don't know who William Federer is, I would suggest you Google him. What an extraordinary guy. He is an intelligent guy. He and I got to have some real good conversation, and we talked. I don't know why this amazes me, but it continues to amaze me. And, you know, as you guys know, that Ecclesia identity and Ecclesia are probably the number two top, you know, topics that I talk about most often and try to weave it into everything. And so just trying to make others aware of what Jesus actually said he was going to build, and it's not church. And talking with some of these guys and how they still have not ever heard of the truth of Ecclesia. And it's just an amazing thing. I had a couple really good, one just he and I sit down with General Jerry Boykin, and we just kind of hung out a little bit and talked. And I the first time, and I got to ask him about Jade Helm 15, get his perspective from a military and also a governmental mindset and where he is. How many of you have not heard of General Jerry Boykin? You've never heard his name. Okay. He is, he's an executive with the Family Research Council now. He was 36 or 37 years in the military, general. That's why we call him general. He was a founding member of Delta Force, which is the most elite military force that we have. And he was also, how many of you heard the movie Black Hawk Down? He was the commander at Black Hawk Down. So he's got a lot of insight. He's been in government intelligence and anti-terrorism. I forgot all the technical things. But it's interesting how he and Kamal became friends over the years because he was in the government and the military side that were pursuing guys like Kamal. And now that they're really good friends. And so I had some conversations with him. He took one of my books, started reading it immediately, asked me a lot of questions. He probably asked me more questions about it than anybody. And told me he would finish it on the airplane. Just had some really great connections. I really don't want to talk that much about that. I want to talk about what the Lord is saying, I believe, and doing. Why don't you turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. And let's look at the Great Commission again. I know we've done it in the past several times. It's very popular. It's very recognizable. Most of you could probably quote it. One lunch, we were sitting down, and we weren't at a restaurant. We were there at the church sitting at a round table, and Kamal and I, and there was, I think, three other people, and then a female politician that had just spoke that morning, Kamal invited her to come over, and she started sharing some things. I want to weave this in. It is interesting to me, even within the body of Christ, the different perspectives and the things that people are seeing with current events, what's going on, what might happen. I think we all know, too, for the most part, that we are headed into a very, very interesting time this fall. There are many things that are converging. The Jade Helm 15 began on the 15th. It's going to end on September 15th. You got the Blood Moon September 28th. You got the Fall Feast. There's just so, I mean, we now have some Supreme Court decisions. We have the agreement with Iran now. I mean, there's so many different things that are happening, a convergence. And it's so interesting to me to listen. And at this conference, we talked a lot about this kind of stuff, not so much from the pulpit, but behind closed doors and just people's perspective. And you have a wide variety of perspective. And what the Lord continues to remind me is we have to stay close to the Lord. And we have to really hone our skills on hearing from the Spirit of God. Because there could be, we cannot trust man. We cannot definitely trust our media. And we have to hear from the Spirit of God and what he's saying to us. And we have to stay very close to him. Here in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, Jesus says, verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we've been teaching a little bit on this. I shared this with Kamal, and then he actually mentioned it from the pulpit, too, about this a little bit, that the Lord awakened my heart, quickened my heart, that he wasn't just talking about water baptism here, is what we've always kind of interpreted it as, water baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I did a quick search all through the New Testament. Nowhere in the New Testament, when it's talking about water baptism, is it actually worded this way. There's always a reference to water, repentance, the baptism of Jesus, or the baptism of John. It's never worded being baptized in the Father, being baptized in the Son, and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. The word baptized means to be immersed in, to be completely and fully immersed in. And just a few days ago, it just struck me, the mark of the beast, 666, which is a perversion of this. Now, I'm just going to give you my perspective on the mark of the beast, and you can take it however you feel like the Lord has already told you. But I believe that the mark of the beast, 666, is the six being the number of man. And then six being the number of man is humanism. It's being completely immersed in man, man, and man. And not being immersed in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is everybody with me? That's my perspective on it. I heard a message, maybe you've heard it too. Rick Joyner just released a message, I think maybe 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, on his perspective of the mark of the beast with this Supreme Court ruling. Has anybody heard it? You did? And I'm not going to say it. You can Google it and listen to it. But his correlation that he brought with the mark of the beast being man as well, but because of this, the LGBT community and the homosexuality, which is really about man, it's, you know, the connection. But the part that he really brought into it is the Bible tells us that you're not going to be able to buy and sell without this mark. And how many businesses have already been put out of business? It's an interesting perspective. I'm not going to teach on that. That's his teaching. But I was just seeing this again, that this is a perversion. The mark of the beast, 666, is a perversion of what Jesus said to be baptized in. So I want to go back to when I was sitting at this table, this lady politician comes up and she's sharing her perspective, which was night and dark from some of the other people's perspective. And I just always find that interesting. And in the midst of it, I'm always trying to listen to the Holy Spirit. Lord, what are you really saying in this whole thing? Because we have a wide variety of people, and I'm just talking about even within the body of Christ, you've got people so far over into the conspiracy thing, and then so many people over here in the apathetic that it's going to be very biblical, like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. They're going to continue going on with life until it's too late. And you have all of that. It's just an amazing thing in the body of Christ. And so anyway, she begins to talk, and there was a lot, you know, there was a lot of conversation, and then all of a sudden the Lord gave me a word for her. And so in the middle, and I just want to, I don't want to tell you the whole word, but there was a couple things that the Lord spoke that as I'm speaking it, it just kind of hit me, and I never really seen it like this before. How many of you have been part of this congregation for over 3 years, since January of 2012? Okay, less than half. All right, that's good. Well, it's good because of what I'm gonna talk about. That's all it's good for.
Okay, we'll leave.
Yeah, that's. But some time ago, and we talked a lot about this. I can't really remember how long ago, but I had a word about Goshens in the land that God was going to construct Goshens. Does everybody understand what Goshens are? Okay. Goshens are safe places. That when plagues hit Egypt, the people that lived in Goshen and the people that had the blood over their door, they were safe. When the destroying angel went in, it was a place of safety and provision. That's what the kingdom is. The kingdom of God is a place of safety. It's a place of provision and a place of protection. And so I had this word about Goshens being in the land. And we've talked about it and, you know, all of these other things. So, and how many of you have heard about, in the news lately, about these sanctuary cities that are in our nation? These are places where illegal immigrants can go and they're basically safe. They're not going to be, you know, taken to jail or sent back, and they can, it got way perverted from what it was supposed to be. But anyway, it was the term sanctuary city. And so, and part of the word I was giving her about Goshens in the land, and then I heard the Lord say, and they will be the true sanctuary cities. And then it struck me. How many of you saw, as soon as the Supreme Court made their decision about gay marriage, that the White House put the rainbow colors up on the White House? How many of you saw that, saw pictures of that? How many of you, like me, got angry? Yeah, I was angry. Well, as I'm prophesying this, that came up too, and the Lord showed me something. And he showed me that, and this shouldn't really surprise people. Let me back up just to kind of, it's hard to know where everybody's kind of at. And, you know, some, like I said, haven't been with some of the prophetic words we've released over the last 4 or 5 years. And try to catch everybody up to this. But I'm not afraid of the rainbow. The rainbow is biblical. And the rainbow is God's. And the rainbow gave it as a covenant and a reminder that he would never destroy the earth by a flood again. And so I was angry. But when I gave this prophetic word, the Lord said, I am reminding the nation that I will not destroy her. So through the blasphemy and through perversion, the Lord can trump it all. The Lord can use evil for his good purposes. And as the people of God, we have to have eyes to see what he's doing and ears to hear what he's doing. We have to shift to what is God really doing. There's talk, all about bad, this, that, and so forth. We know what's God's doing. What's he up to? And let's connect with him in what he's doing. So everything that the kingdom of darkness does, nothing is a creation. It is all a perversion of what God is doing. Okay? He only takes what God does and says and tries to twist it, which is the word perverted. See, we're in a time too right now that, just like the garden, when Satan came with the question, did God really say that? Are you hearing me? Every one of you are hearing this to some certain degree and a certain percentage in a certain way. Did God really say that? Maybe it's questioning the word, the written word. Maybe it's questioning a prophecy that he's given you. Maybe it's questioning a promise that he's given. Did God really say that? It's amazing to me that over centuries, thousands of years, that Satan has not changed his strategy. It's the same strategy he's always had. And the reason is because he's been so effective with it. That the more things change, the more things stay the same. But the Bible also tells us that we are not ignorant of his schemes and his devices and how he works. Well, how are we not? We don't become ignorant or we don't become knowledgeable about his schemes and his devices and how he functions by focusing on them. We become intelligent and aware by focusing on what is true and what is right. So we recognize what is false and what is a deception. And so through all of these different signs and things, the Lord is beginning to waken me up even more that there's sanctuary cities that the enemy is doing and has planted. I forgot now how many, 30-some, 50-some, I don't even remember the number of them. But at the same time, why? Because at the same time, God is constructing Goshens in the land. At the same time that the covenant of God in our nation has been hijacked, even with his symbol of the rainbow, that the Lord is speaking through that and promising us that he will not destroy this nation. Now, you may be a believer that God is going to destroy this nation. I do not believe it. And I believe I have a word from the Lord on it that he will not. I do, however, and I mentioned this to them there at the table, that it's going to look like it. And then I was aware of, all of this didn't happen in a minute. It happened over hours and even a few days. But it happened kind of over this last week. And please don't misunderstand. I don't consider myself a prophet, but I do, I am prophetic. Renee, there's many prophetic people here, and let me define what prophetic means. Prophetic means, let me even start with this. To be prophetic, you have to be a good listener. prophecy and being prophetic begins with hearing. If you don't hear, you don't have anything to say. You don't have anything to say. And there's lots of talk, 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 lots of talk. But I want to hear the voice of God, whether it comes through, you know, a toddler or somebody that's aged. It doesn't, somebody that's not even born again, or an animal, or a movie, or a billboard. I want to hear and recognize the voice of God wherever it speaks. Knowing that, none of us have the whole picture. We only have a part. We only prophesy in part and know in part. That's why I love when we come together on Wednesday to hear what are all the other parts. I may have just one word. I may have a color. I may have a number. But it's only a part of the bigger picture of what God is really saying and communicating to us. And so part of that is, and I mentioned this not too long ago, that I think we need to really be aware of as well, is when God gives a prophetic word. How many of you have ever had a prophetic word from God? God spoke to you, you knew it was God, and maybe you spoke it out or whatever. Yeah, see, this is a prophetic congregation. I love that. Now, if you're anything like me, when God speaks and it's like, I know that it's the Lord, it's like, it's so alive, it's so vibrant, you think it's going to happen like right now. Because it's so live within you. And it might be something that's going to happen right now, but I have found in my life over the few years here, that sometimes the Lord gives a word and we release it and it doesn't happen for some years down the road. Amen. You know, when Jesus was speaking about the temple, he said, you see this, not one stone will be upon another. He was talking about himself, but he was also talking about what was going to happen 40 some years later when Jerusalem was besieged and the temple was burned. So he was talking about the temple of his body, but you can, when you hear that, you can think, oh, it's going to happen this week, today, this afternoon. Well, what Jesus said didn't happen for 40 years. The spiritual part of his body happened very quickly, but then the actual building of it didn't happen for 40 years. And we have prophecies of scripture that have been, what, for several thousands of years that haven't happened yet. So we have to be aware of God's timing, not only God's word, but his timing. And we release what God has for us, because when we release the word of God and it's prophesied, legislated, however, decreed, however we want to term it, into the earth, then it's active, it's living, because it's God's word. And it's going to perform what it was sent to do. It might perform it this afternoon, and it might be 50 years. You might not even be living on the earth when it happens, but it's going to happen. Okay. A storm is coming, and it's raging, and it's upon us now. And just as Peter got out on the boat, and I want to remind you, when Peter stepped out of the boat, he said something before he did it. He said, Lord, if that's you, then you give me the word, which in turn enables me to do what you're going to tell me to do. Which also is saying, I can't get out of the boat and walk on this water unless you tell me to. But when you tell me to, I can do it all. Remember, there was a storm going on. The Bible says in that passage of scripture that there was a raging storm. The boat was being battered by the waves, and Jesus comes walking on the storm. And all of the apostles in the boat were doing their best to stay afloat and maintain, and here comes Jesus walking on the storm. We have to have eyes to see what the Lord is up to, what he's doing, and then join him where he's at. We have to stop asking the Lord to join us where we're at. Somebody needed to hear that, like all of us and myself included. We have to see where he's at. And Peter wasn't even sure, because he said, Lord, if it is you, bid me to come. And Jesus says, come. And Peter gets out on a raging storm. We're in a storm, and it's going to continue to rage. And he walks, and we know the story. He got to looking around at the storm. I just want to let you know something. If all you can see is the storm, you aren't going to make it. I'm going to tell you something else. That was a powerful warning from the Lord. You better take it. If you only have eyes for the storm, if you only have eyes for what all the negative and all the bad and all that the enemy is doing, you will cower in fear and you will not hear from the Spirit of God. You will be motivated by fear and you will not make it. 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago to be exact, I had a series of dreams. I've mentioned this part before, that the Lord has been having me look back at some prophetic words from 3.5, 4 years ago that were released by us, by this body. And I don't have time to go into all of them. But I will say this, those of us that have been here in this congregation, I know for a fact, for 3.5 years, we have heard some things and some things have been released that God has given us opportunity to be ready and to be prepared for what's coming. And we're just not going to have an excuse when it happens to say, why didn't you tell me, Lord? Why was I not ready? Why was I not prepared? I really want to apologize for the strength sounding of this message, but I'm not. Because I'm held responsible before the Lord of the things that I say and the things that I don't say. And so I want to be as best I can and faithful to what the Lord is speaking. I had a series of three dreams, actually four, but specifically three. And those of you that were here 3.5 years ago, because I actually talked about this for a few weeks in a row. Now, I will say that they were so strong and so real, I thought they were going to happen like within a few months. And then they didn't. And the Lord's reminded me of those things, and so I just want to just share them real quick again. First dream, I don't even remember now in the series which one was first, which one was second, and maybe that has significance, maybe it doesn't. I was driving down the street, and I looked at a gas station, and the price was $2.89. And as I'm driving down the street, I only went 3, 4, 5 blocks, and immediately they changed to $7.65. And the Lord spoke to me. I don't know that it has anything to do with gas specifically. That's fine. But what the Lord was speaking to me was, change is coming, and when it comes, it's going to come quickly. So you better be ready. I had another dream. Some of you probably don't know, but Jay and Kim Sala used to be part of our congregation, known Jay for years. Jay was an ex-Muslim. He and I were friends. In this dream, I was in a car. There's lots of details to all these dreams, and I don't want to go into all of those kinds of things right now. But I was in the car with Jay. Jay got in the car in the passenger seat. I'm in the driver's seat. Two men walked up to Jay's side and said, where are you guys going? Jay tells them where we're going. The guys say, can I come along? Fine, jump in the back. They jump in the back, and as we're traveling, all of a sudden, the pressure began to build up, and they were trying to get us off track. And the force and pressure and threats began to increase to get us to go a different way than the way that we agreed to go. And it got so strong at first, the guy pulls out a gun and the dream's over. Third dream. This dream was a bizarre dream for me. And I'm leaving out a lot of little details, but you're getting the gist of it. This third dream, I'm like up in the atmosphere in the sky and I'm looking down at a vast ocean and there's a ship in the ocean. And immediately what I saw, I'm up here and I'm looking at this ship. I couldn't see people at all. All I saw was a large ship in the water. And it cracked right in half. But it did it so dramatically that what the sense I had in my dream was like two big hands took the bow. One took the bow, one took the stern and did it on purpose. Went. And when it did it, you might have seen a movie where big ships are cracked. It just began to sink. And it was going to, and I, when the dream was over, the boat was not underwater completely. And all of a sudden I saw a man in the water with a life jacket on, and all I saw was the back of his head floating. I only saw one person. And immediately I'm up here, it was like I was transferred right into the guy, and I was the guy. And then I heard the Lord say this: it's not what it looks like. It's not what it looks like. Three things, really quick. The pressure to get us or the body of Christ or you individually or me individually off track from what the Lord is saying to do is going to be great. Number two, change is coming. It's already been happening. And when it's fully implemented, it's going to seem like it's very quick. So be ready. And the third thing is it's going to look really bad for a time, but it's not going to appear what it actually looks like. You with me? We need to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Lord is saying and what he is doing. Could you turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. At this conference, there was a bishop there from Uganda. And he and I talked a couple times, and we both wanted to talk some more and sit down, and it just never really worked out. And he had just some incredible revelation, I thought, on being a priest and a king. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about that because that is our identity. We're priests and we're kings, and how the body of Christ has so focused on just our priestly role and not so much our kingly role. And he made this statement from the pulpit, which just completely shocked me, because this man's from Uganda, okay, a whole other country away. He says, "Ecclesia is God's called out Congress that makes laws for God." My jaw dropped. I said, "I got to go talk to this guy." So I did. I handed him a book. He goes, "Oh, Ecclesia." And I said, "I want to know everything you know." And we never really got to talk and, you know, as much as we really wanted to. But I want to tell you something he said, and I'm going to really get into this a little further too. But when he was talking about priests and kings that were priests, that as a priest, every priest has an altar. I'm going to add some stuff to it because some things are just coming to me. What is an altar for? Oh, good. An altar is for sacrifice. It's what an altar's for. And every priest has an altar. Man, this is really good. It's just really hitting me. The sacrifice that you make on your altar is directly linked to the authority that you will rule from the throne of your kingship. I'm not even sure I can. And he was talking a lot about this. What did I say? The altar, the set. Yeah. I don't know the word. I want to say quality, but I'm not sure if quality. The sacrifice that we make at the altar of our priesthood is directly linked to the authority of the throne of our kingship. My gosh. See, if we want to speak for God, we have to hear. If we want to act for God, we have to see. And the time that we take at our altar performing our priestly duties prepares us for the throne that God has for us so we can rule as kings from. Oh my gosh, that's like, we're going to have to investigate some of that. Wow. Where'd I ask you to go? Doesn't seem so significant now. Let's look at it. Conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. John 3:16, probably the best quoted, best known scripture from saint and heathen alike. Well, let's just pick up at verse 12. I told you earthly things and you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Let me just say something about that. In Christendom, Christian circles, we have a saying that let's lift up the name of Jesus. Let's lift him up. Let's lift him up. Really, biblically speaking, to lift up and what Jesus was talking about was crucifixion. It wasn't just exalting his name. So for Jesus to be lifted up really meant the lifted up was, that was a way, because crucifixion was such a horrible, disgusting way to die that it was so bad they didn't even use the term crucifixion. They actually used the term lifted up. And so really lifted up means Jesus to be crucified, not just to praise his name. Okay. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. And notice how many times he says believes. I really believe that the English translators did us a huge disservice by using the word believe because of the watered down definition of what believe means. Because many people believe, and I believe that this word believe has led many people astray. Because the word, when we hear the word believe in English, it just means I just need to believe something. Like, I need to believe that God exists. How many people believe that God exists, believe even that Jesus exists? I mean, dear Lord, Jesus is in the Quran. The Bible tells us that even demons believe and they shudder. So believing or assenting to some kind of knowledge, believing that God exists, believing that Jesus is the Son, is not what he's talking about. It's the word for faith. It's really the word for trust. It's actually the word for obey. When Jesus says that, when in English it says to believe, it says those who put their trust and confidence in me, in God, and obey me. I mean, it changes it a little bit, doesn't it, from just the word believe? But so many people, even a lot of Christian people, but I believe in God, but it hasn't really affected or changed their life at all. And the word believe here is not a noun. Look this up if you don't believe me. Look it up for yourself. The word is a verb. It's an action word. It means, it's just like if I'm going to believe that this is really the word of God, I believe it's the word, then I'm going to read it. It's going to motivate me to action. If I really believe that God exists, that he's real, that Jesus Christ is the Son, and there's only one name, and it's his name, that all men shall be saved, then I'm going to pursue him. It's going to cause me to do, not just to assent some kind of knowledge. I just believe it as a fact. The demons believe, and they shudder. And so, are you praying your needs, or are you sowing your seeds? How many would think that a farmer would be a fool, that he got up in the morning, he's got a 1,000-acre farm, and he prays every morning, Lord, I need a harvest of corn. So I just declare and decree a harvest of corn that would come out of that field. I pray that it would rain. I pray that the fertilizer would just be put down some kind of house. Every morning he gets up and he continues to prophesy and to speak over that 1,000 acres. Now, I'm not saying God couldn't do that if that's what God is saying, but the normal event of things is that nothing's going to come out of that ground unless he does what? Go plant some seed. See, the seeds that you've sown today is the yesterday are the harvest that you reap today. See, there's a sowing and reaping principle that's in the kingdom of God. And maybe some of you, your mind just went automatically to finances and you want to shut it off. And finances is a part of that. But it's everything. Jesus said this. He said that if you don't forgive your brother, you're not going to be forgiven. It doesn't matter how good you are, how long you've been a Christian. That's what he said. If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. I mean, that's just like a hair raising up on the arm. Statement. So what is that? You're sowing the seed of forgiveness. The storm is coming, and it's even upon us. I think I'm going to close with this. And I brought them out, the three dreams I just mentioned to you, and some of the, I just want to say, to remind us of some of the words. And this was January of 2012. And I feel like, look, I could be wrong, but I do feel like these words are, I don't have the words, more real, more timely than they were then for us. I had a word of a quake to awake. And that God, I think a lot of people were talking about there was a shaking that was happening. And that shaking has gotten more intense and it's going to continue because everything that can be shaken is not kingdom. We have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So if it's being shaken in your life, get rid of it. Deal with it. So whatever remains is kingdom that cannot be shaken. During worship this morning, I forgot about this until now, and I want to get the right words. The Lord was saying to us, too, that everything that we've been through, both positive, negative, good or bad. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God caused any of the bad or any of the evil or any of the... I'm just saying it happened and it was life. But through all of that, it's prepared you for such a time as this. It's prepared you for this hour. Now, you can go through times of suffering and persecution and come out the other side more angry, more bitter, and in worse condition than you went into it. Or you can go through persecution, issues, circumstances, all kind. You can go through the furnace of affliction and come out better and more Christ-like. And it all has to do with how we respond in the midst. How are we going to respond in the midst of those storms? Because God, I believe that the most important thing to God is that every human being have an opportunity to receive him and that does so. And the second most important thing is once they've received him is that we become like him in character. And everything we go through in life is helping to train that and to work that out. You need more patience, God puts you in circumstances that patience is required. You need more love, he puts you in relationships and in situations where love is required. He puts you in that on-the-job training so that's worked at, because all of the character traits, the seed, is on the inside of everyone that's born again. And for that seed to develop, we go through those times and those circumstances and relationships where they can come out. So the shaking is going to continue. Lifestyles must change. Our life, some of our lifestyles is restricting us. They're not freeing us. Alignment and positioning. We've talked a lot about this alignment. I'm just telling you what I believe. We're coming into a time now where correct alignment, correct positioning is really going to depend on survival. I'm not just talking about like life or not going to heaven. I'd rather be on my journey on a boat than wading water, you know, gasping for air. Going to the same place, but two different modes. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Are you guys okay with this? What I've been sharing now that we're almost done now? I'm hesitant sometimes because... we're in a time of abundant grace. God gives grace to the humble. And the word access, we're going to have to access some of these. It's going to be our decision whether we access this or not and prepare ourselves. Let me just say a few things about alignment. And this happened at the conference, and it's been happening to me a lot over the last few years. Those who have ears to hear, let me just talk about the body of Christ, period, from my perspective. And this was part of a word I gave somebody that was there. Those who have ears to hear will hear. The Wednesday before last, or maybe, I can't remember now, maybe two before that, the Lord just kind of rocked me a little bit with a word that I had on a Wednesday night about silence. Does anybody remember that? I think I mentioned it on a Sunday. And it was interesting that this conference was called Breaking the Silence that I went to. And the Lord had spoken to me before that silence is just as powerful and authoritative as the words we speak when he says to be quiet. Not just silence for silence sake. Because too many of us are just quiet. We don't say anything. But not so it's not for silence sake. It's when God says, shh. How many of you, God has done this to me. I can't even count the amount of times. He'll speak a word. And that's all he says. Then there's silence. I've prayed about it. I've inquired him about it. Silence. Does that happen? I see a lot of heads going. Ch-ch-ch-ch. What has he spoke to you in the silence? See, silence means things. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? Even in the natural, you know, you ask your parent, your boss, your spouse something, it's like, okay, they're quiet. I guess I know what that means. And so there's power in silence when God initiates it. There was a time that he was silent. There was a time that Jesus was silent. He just quit defending himself, quit saying anything. He was just quiet. And when we're in a place of that God-ordained obedient silence, we're releasing the hands of the Spirit of God to manifest and do what only God can do. But we're allowing that. We're giving it access through our silent, our obedient silence. Just like if our obedient words. I hope you understand this. I'll try to explain. And so what the Lord has been doing with me over the last few years is And I'm just, this part right here, I'm just talking without having a great handle on it. But it has everything to do with alignment. When we first started the church, the number one thing that God spoke to me is relationship. He said, do everything by relationship. That's one reason why we don't have a lot of guest speakers, because I only invite people that I have a relationship with and that I can trust. And there's sometimes the Lord has done it twice now where he just kind of downloads something and he said, have that person. Kamal was one of them. And before he actually spoke, we instantly connected when we met. And I value that relationship. He's a great, great friend, a great man. And I'm thankful that God's connected him. And because of him and my relationship with him, I've gotten to know some of these others. And it was because of him that I went to this conference. And he introduced me to a senior pastor and some of the other people that he's got relationships with. And how he's weaved all that through relationships. And so it's gotten even more prominent that God is, and that vision of the net came back and how God is weaving this net and he's connecting people and aligning and strategizing and he's building these Goshen cities, these sanctuary cities, and he's connecting. And we're just doing what God is telling us to do, and we don't see the whole big picture, but we don't have to see the whole big picture. We just have to be faithful to do what God is calling us and go where he says to go, be connected with see, it's important of the congregation you're connected with. You've got to be where God has called you. And if you're here and you feel like you got a left shoe on, maybe God's not called you here. We've got to be connected to the body that God, and thank God for all the different congregations. They all have different characters and natures, and they have a different call and different perspective, and we need them all to work together and to function together to be the body of Christ. But it's so important that we're with the right one. And the right one is the one God said. You might walk into that place and hate the music, don't like the chairs, it's too cold, too hot, don't like the word, but if that's what God says, that's where you need to be. That's just the way it is. We need to be in the right employment. That's important. We need to be living in the right place of the country or even in the right country. I mean, the body of Christ so much, we move to different parts of the country to be with family, or we move because the weather's nicer, with not a thought of the kingdom purposes. Not a thought. We go to churches or businesses where we might make more money, have better benefits. We might go to a church that we just like better, with no real thought of what God is actually saying to connect. And therefore, we get out of alignment and out of position. And we wonder why things get so chaotic. And so alignment and position. And so even in this conference, there was, and then I got to, I had a prophetic word for the senior pastor. It was the last, as a matter of fact, I was like, you know, there was no room in the service at all for prophetic words. And I got it in the middle of the service when he was preaching. And I was like, what do I do with it? You know what I mean? Because there's not a room, you know, and I don't know him well enough. It's not my church. I mean, if it was my place, I walk up and get, but it's not. It's like, oh my gosh, what do I do with this? And I called Renee. It was the next day. I said, I had this word. But you know, when you get a word, like I was talking about earlier, sometimes when you don't give it right away, it kind of starts to fade. Then you question, and then you doubt, and then you compromise, and then you just don't say anything. Nobody here knows about that, right? And I was like, okay, well, and then Renee really encouraged me. If it's from where you got to give it, you got, okay, well, all right. Okay, I will. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know, you know, if I have the opportunity, if it works out. And so I mention it to Kamal, and Kamal goes and gets him and brings him in the room. And it's just me and Kamal and him. And he goes, just a minute. And he pulls out his iPhone, and he hits record, and he says, okay. Yeah. And so I give it to him, but I said all that to say it was in this context when that was over and we discussed it for just a little bit. And then he starts to talk about, and I forgot about this. Rick Joyner wrote a book years ago, I think in 2003 or something, can't remember which, called The Torch and the Sword. How many of you have heard a book or ever read it? I have it. I have two copies of it. I never read the whole thing. But he starts talking about, and I had just previous that afternoon had a conversation with two other guys about this, except not the book. But it's the same topic. And in the book, Rick had this dream vision thing about getting a torch, that the Lord handed him a torch. and make a long story short, the torch was a light. Obviously, it was light. And the Lord told him that it would burn bright. And because you're a torch bearer, you would recognize other torch bearers. And he said, and the Lord told him that as long as you're with me, you're connected to me, it'll burn bright and the torch will be light. It won't be a burden to you. It won't be heavy. But the further you get from me, the dimmer the light and the heavier it gets to where it's a burden. So what was the Lord saying? The torch bearer is a presence bearer. They're bearing the presence. And when you're bearing the presence, you'll notice and connect with others. That's a torch bearer. I didn't use those terms. I just used the word highlight because that's what I knew and that's what the Lord was showing. He said the Lord said that he'll highlight certain people. And this has been happening for probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 years with me and even in the city. And it's like, we don't have to get everybody in unity. Everybody doesn't have to believe the same. But who's the Lord connecting me with? Who's the Lord connecting you with? Because he's aligning people and he's positioning people and he's going to show you. It might be this person and you might want to be connected to that person, but that's not who God's saying. He's saying here. And so we have to see where the light or that torch, that highlight. Is everybody following me? You understand what I'm saying? And the senior pastor's telling me this. And I was like, oh my gosh, because I just had that conversation with different terms earlier, and he's connecting. And then he said some things that I'm not going to say right now, but he was in the connection and the word. And it was like, oh my gosh, I began to see something a little bit even more pronounced of God's networking. I don't know where all that's going to go. I'm just saying what he's showing me and what he's seeing and what we need to be aware of who and what God is wanting to connect us with. And it may not be what you want, and it may not be what you like. Hello? Hello? God has given us everything that we need to be prepared for the hour in which we live. But if we let it lay in the drawer or on the floor, and I didn't realize that was going to rhyme. But if we let it lay in the drawer or the floor, it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. He's already equipped you for what you need in this day and this hour. He's already made sure you had it. You may have forgotten about it. You may have thought it was no big deal at the time when you heard it, when you received it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. How many of you are not feeling well in your body? You're sick, have a pain, your back still hurt? Could you stand? Can you stand? Glory be to God. Anybody else, if you're not? Yeah, do you have something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, sometimes when Joe goes, I don't want to stand that close to you.
Yeah.
When Joe goes to these places and he comes back and he tells us of the relationships that he made, it's all of us going. It is all of us. He is representing us. He is not representing him. Our relationships with others build his relationships to go out, and his relationships build our body as one. And so when you hear him talk about, you know, I sit down with General Jerry Boykin, we sat down with General Jerry Boykin. We developed a relationship with him. We are all one, and we support him. He has a gifting to walk in this, but we have giftings that if we don't operate in our giftings, he can't operate in his. So we all need to be, like he was speaking earlier, pulling out where our giftings are, where our relationships are, what are we building in our workplaces, what are we building with those around us, when is the Lord telling us to speak, when is the Lord telling us to be silent, and bringing that back into this body. Because who knows that Anna knows someone, Joe starts speaking, and there's a need or there's a development, and all of a sudden her relationship with that person is now a relationship for Rhonda to do something that the Lord has called her to do, which is a relationship for me, which is a relationship for Wyatt, which is a relationship for Monica. And all of a sudden, we are pulling from all of our relationships. But if we set and hide our light and say, well, Joe went to Colorado and developed this relationship. Well, Joe's going out and doing that. Well, Renee's going out. If we sit and hide and expect them to go do everything, this won't happen. So you need to be hearing what the Lord's telling you to do and going out and reaching those relationships and establishing those networks where the Lord is putting you, because he is knitting all of us together as one, and we all have a point and purpose. And we all just went to Colorado and came back with some wonderful relationships and some wonderful things that is going to empower this body to continue to move forward the way the Lord has called.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and I forgot. I meant to say this, too. I was reminded just to thank you so much for praying. And I know Renee mentioned last Sunday where I was a little bit, and I asked several of you to pray specifically. So thank you so very much for that. Did you have something? And then we'll pray for the ones that are not feeling well here. Here, why don't we? This is a weird thing here. Let's just, yeah. No, I just like it was weird.
Huh. As Joe was preaching, and I feel like the Lord wanted me to share it because I think it is for a couple of you. I know it was for me in the room. But when you were talking about Peter and the boat, and I don't know if a lot of you caught it, but when Joe specifically was talking about the White House and the rainbow, and the Lord said, it's my promise to the nation, like that word was so solid. Like it just hit me when I heard it, and it was just serious, and that was what it was. And then when he started talking about Peter and the water, I heard the Lord say in that same tone of voice and that same promise, and I believe this is for the entire body, but a lot of us, and he said, if you will keep your eyes on me, you will walk on water. And I was like, okay, cool. That was kind of a paraphrase of what Joe was talking about, but the Lord kept repeating it over and over in my head. And he said, if you will keep your eyes on me, you will walk on water. And there were two ways that split in my head. The first was the supernatural. It was, if we keep our eyes on him, we will walk on the water. We will see the healings. We will see the finances pour in. We will see the conviction and the outpouring of the Spirit. And then the second way that he did it, I felt like this goes out to specific people in this congregation, is if you will keep your eyes on me, you will walk on water, and it's time to get out of the boat. Because there are so many of us in here that he's been nagging at us to do particular things. And it falls in line kind of with what Joe was talking about with the mark of the beast and the selling and that. That really is that entire concept, whether that's the nth degree of the mark of the beast or not, what we're coming to. Where businesses that are run by Christians are shutting down. And yes, we have an inheritance, but the Lord has other ways that it's going to work. But there are so many of us in here who are business-minded, who have skills and hobbies and passions and dreams, that the Lord wants you to get out of the boat and actually start walking to him and do it. Because in this day and age, we have to have those people who are doing it. And I feel like the Lord's calling a couple of you specifically, get out of the boat, but keep your eyes on me. And if you keep your eyes on me, you'll walk on the water. You're going to see the crazy things happen that shouldn't ever happen. And in relation to the harvest, you're talking about a farmer who prays but never sows seeds. And Joe was talking about like finances and your own prayer life and things. But as he was saying it, I saw a picture of this country and just the globe. And there was thousands of people, and they looked like wheat. But there was thousands of these people looking like wheat. And all of us, like Christians, we're supposed to be spreading the seed, because we talk about the great end times revival that we want to see. And we talk about the cloud of witnesses and the big net of all of these people. But more than in our own personal lives, we are responsible for that great end times harvest. We are responsible to sow those seeds, like we talked about last week, even of saying the words that need to be said of the person. And I guess the point of what that picture was is I saw like dozens and dozens of people, and they were just people that people would walk by in Walmart, like this punk girl. I saw a picture of her with like this pink spiky hair, and she had like tattoos and lip rings and all this crazy stuff. And someone had just spoken one word to her. And then the Lord, when he moved and poured out, all of a sudden that girl got radically saved because of one word some Christian told her while she was working at that store. And that was the picture that I was seeing, is thousands and thousands of people like that. And so as Joe was saying, we have to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and we have to speak it. And I think that's what the Lord is wanting us to hone in on, is if we keep our eyes on him, we're going to walk and do the crazy things, the supernatural things. So we have to step out, and then we have to speak it. So I just felt like he wanted me to re-highlight those couple
that's
of
awesome.
Things real
really
fast.
Good. Can you stay here for a minute? I'd like for you to pray for those that aren't feeling well. But as she was speaking, I've been kind of looking at this scripture a little bit. And this is in Revelation chapter 11. And the two witnesses that were alive on the earth and were were doing miracles and signs and wonders for the Lord and preaching the gospel message. In Jerusalem, they were killed, and they laid in the street for 3.5 days, and then God breathed life into them, and they were resurrected, and then God said, come up here. And they, and right in front of people, they ascended to heaven. But the thing I wanted to point out is, this is Revelation 11:8. It says, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. Could it be that in the end time, there are two major things going on? The great city is Jerusalem. It's the same city that Jesus was killed in. But it said, spiritually speaking, the great city was called Sodom and Egypt. Could it be that the last known abominations were homosexuality and Islam? Would you pray for the sick? Huh?
Next to them, lay your hands on them, pray. If you get specific words like Joe's talked about, specifically for their body, specifically for their hearing or healing, please pray those over them. Please speak those. Awesome. Holy Spirit, we say thank you. Thank you for dwelling in us, for dwelling among us. Right now, we just speak to the power of sickness that's gripping your people. The perversion of what our bodies should be, the perversion of health that is ours. We speak to this sickness, and I command its chains to be broken right now in the name of Jesus. The afflictions of the mind, depression, suicide, I command you to be broken off of our daughters in the name of Jesus, to be broken off of our sons in Jesus' name. I speak to any kind of diseases of the cells, anemia, any kind of perversion of how our cells are supposed to regenerate. If anyone in here has that or has family members, we just speak to that disease and that sickness. And I command you to be broken off in the name of Jesus. And we speak life and we breathe life into those bodies in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that you would come and you would breathe strength. God, that you would breathe life into these bodies, that you would strengthen the bones, the muscles, the hearts, that they would not grow weary in pursuing you, Father. And Lord, Holy Spirit, we ask right now that you would release divine words of wisdom, whether it's health changes, whether it's things that they're ingesting, that they're doing, activities. God, I ask that you would tweak it, that you would bring wisdom and revelation to your people, and that they would walk forward in freedom and in healing in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This morning I was kind of like in that twilight when I was waking up, and I'm going over to Kate's school this afternoon. They have prayer from 4 to 5 to pray for the school and for the coming year, and I haven't been, and I'm going today, and I was just kind of in between, and I was like, God, what are you going to want me to pray about? Am I supposed to speak? Am I supposed to be silent? And he gave me a word, and I know it's for his school, but I really think it's for all of us too. And he said, for them to be raising up, but at the same time, I think it's for us. And that's that he's calling us to be lightning rods, because the power is building, and lightning builds in the clouds, in the heavens. And then when I researched this for 2 hours this morning, when it builds to the point where it can no longer be held, then it comes down to the ground. And we are to be the lightning rod to dissipate that energy of the Lord to those around us.
Yeah, good. Praise God. Be blessed and access every room and every cabinet of the kingdom. Those that are going to Honduras, would you please come? Your parent or spouse can come too. That would be a good idea.